This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We have got some results for you from around the table and also a little tip potentially for clubs if they're wanting to boost their table numbers. Yeah, okay. What results have you got?
Probably the main event was the National Swiss Pairs held over the weekend. The New Plymouth Club organised it, but it was held online, and they had a grand total of 48 tables, did you believe it? 96 pairs playing. Just as well they didn't try and squeeze all of those in the New Plymouth Club rooms.
That's pretty good numbers.
And the winners in a canter were Anthony Kerr and Russell Dive. With one match to go, they were so far in front they couldn't get caught. So I think they only lost one match all weekend, and they won by 25 VPs from the second pair, Zachary Yarn and Kevin Hu.
Oh, that's pretty good result for Zach and Kevin. Well done, Anthony and Russell.
There was that, but there were a few tournaments on the weekend. Ashburton had their all-grades tournament, won by Kay Nicholas and Leslie Andrew. Liz Fitzgerald and John Kruniger were felt a bit hard done by. They averaged 63.6, and they were still 4% behind the winners. That's a big grum, but very high scoring. Now, the Kerikeri Club had an open pairs. That was won by Tanya Brown and Neil Riddell from Zolene Zink and Jill Cottle. Hi, Jill, if you're listening. Waikanae held an all-grades pairs, multi-grade pairs, won by David May and Isabel Ross. It was a dead eight for second. Angela Gash and Judith Jackson, Martin Berry and Justine Hart.
Okay.
Otago had a Swiss pairs event. That was won by Peter Hall and Graham Stout from Robert Cowan and Tim Webb. And your favourite tournament was held. You know what it is.
Yeah, the Morrinsville Restricted Junior Open. Is that what it's called?
No.
Morrinsville Junior Restricted, sorry.
That's it. You've got it. So Nick Whitten always makes a great job of running this tournament, as you know. So appropriately enough, this year's winners were Nick Whitten, playing with Linda Sycamore.
Actually, I think they won it last year too.
Okay, second were Carl Goodsward and Heather Kneebone from Matamata. So Morrinsville, Matamata, Quinella. And they had 11 pairs enter, so that was good. Probably 11 new players with 11 old players. Or maybe I shouldn't use old. Anyway, all good. So lots of Brit around over the weekend. And this weekend, I think we've got the Cambridge Sixes going on.
Oh, right. Now, that normally pulls in big numbers of teams. Well, how's it going this year?
Just having a quick look while I'm talking to you. Because the numbers were a bit disappointing last year, I think. That doesn't look too bad. They've got 38 teams entered.
Oh, nice. I'm pleased to see that their numbers are up.
You'll be pleased to know there's a few Hamilton players entered. Te Ao Mutu, North Shore, Te Araha, of course, Rotorua, Cambridge, Kerikeri, Waitemata, Ashburton. They're coming from far and wide.
Yeah, there's quite a few Aucklanders coming down.
Yeah, they're very coming good. From everywhere. Be a long time reading out all the locations, Thames, and even Marlborough.
Yes, I see. Ed's coming up. We have Peter Hollins next talking about hand evaluations, and we'll continue with his chats next week.
G'day, it's Pete here, and today I wanted to talk about how to evaluate a bridge hand. So I'm going to do this in sort of three parts. I'm going to cover the basics first, and then a few little adjustments, and then finally a technique I really like to use to try and find the right spot in an auction. Anyway, first of all, how do you tell how good it is? Most people use high card points. So what they like to do is they want to add 4 for an ace, 3 for a king, 2 for a queen, and 1 for a jack. And this tells you how many points your hand is worth. Now, this is pretty much universally used for judging how good a hand is. But it's not everything that there is to judge a hand by. Other factors include length points or shortage points. So what I like to do is before I find a fit, I count length points. And after I find a fit, I want to count shortage points. You never want to count both of them. You want to count one or the other. And the general idea is before you find a fit, you're likely to end up in no trumps as a possibility. And if you've got a 5 or a 6 card suit in no trumps, this is a really powerful thing and actually makes your hand better. Whereas if you find a trump suit, then most of the time you want to do some roughing or trumping where you've got shortages and you can cross trump the hand. So what I like to do is count 1 point for a 5-card suit and 2 points for a 6-card suit before I find a fit. Now this is length points, so I get my high card points and my length points, and I call that my total points. During the bidding, once we've found a fit and we're going to actually play in the trump suit, then I'll switch over and count shortage points. So you want to reevaluate your hand during the auction. So once you've found a fit, you can then stop counting your length points, but instead count your shortage points. So to do this, what I like to do is count 5 points if I've got a void, 3 if I've got a singleton, and 1 if I've got a doubleton. But this is more of an aggressive approach of evaluating your hand based on shortage points, and it's only really useful if you've got a good fit. If you've only got just an 8-card fit, then maybe you want to just count 3 for a void, 2 for a singleton, and 1 for a doubleton. So there are a couple of different options that you can do, but you want to judge how good is my fit, but usually I lean towards counting 5 for the void, 3 for a singleton, and 1 for a doubleton. So this is the basics of how we evaluate a hand, so let's jump straight in and see what we can actually do with these. So on this hand, if we wanted to count our points, we've got 4 for the ace, 3 for a king, 2 for a queen, and 2 for another queen. So this hand is worth 11 points. We have no length points, and we have no shortage points. So haven't found a fit yet. We wouldn't be able to adjust this either way. So this hand is worth 11 points.
So anyway, have you been playing any bridge while you've been over there? No.
No time to play bridge, actually. It's been hectic running from one thing to another. So my dreams of playing bridge over here have been dashed.
You'll forget which ones are the spades.
I know. Hey, look, we were talking about one way club could potentially boost table numbers.
This seems to be working well for the Hamilton Club, and our table numbers were getting dangerously low on some of our nights.
Yeah.
So what have they been doing?
So what they've done is they've come up with a WhatsApp group. We've got a WhatsApp group Monday and Thursday night. So what they've done is they've come up, and if you've had any inkling whatsoever, doesn't matter how big or small it is, that you may want to play on one of these nights, they've included you into this WhatsApp group. And you simply say, hey, I'm looking for a game. Is anybody keen? And somebody will answer. Say, yep, I can. So I think it's a very good initiative. And let's hope that we can boost our numbers. You really need a partner on these two nights because they have set programs. But if your bridge club is thinking, what's a good way? Some have a partnership email. Some have part stewards as well. But this little thing just adds an extra level for people instantly thinking, oh, something's happened on my WhatsApp. I've got that notification. Yep, I can do that. And away you go. If you think it's a good idea, let us know. Or whatever your bridge club does, let us know that too. BridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com. Are you in one of those groups?
I'm actually in the Thursday one. And I have to say, it's become quite a little sort of chat group. It's not just about whether you want a partner or not. So if somebody from a Thursday wins something, you know, people come on and say, oh, congratulations. Well done for winning on the weekend. Lots of people say, oh, well done, congratulations, you know, and then so quite a nice little way of doing that. So it's not just about trying to find a partner. It's, you know, sort of making that particular night into its own little bridge community where they can communicate.
Excellent. And it's free. What's better than that?
All the best things in life are free. No, I don't think they are.
No. So Friday night is your next...
The Trans-Tasman Challenge. So if anybody wants to look, they can kibitz the Trans-Tasman Challenge. There's a bit of a delay. On Friday night, this is New Zealand playing Australia. New Zealand's still comfortably ahead at the moment. So there'll be, you know, all the open, mixed, seniors, youth, women's, all of those teams are playing. Always Australia against New Zealand. A friendly rivalry, or sometimes not so friendly. Did your power just go out?
No, the sensors in the room picked up that no one's in the room, so I turned the lights off. Okay. I tell you what, and this has got nothing to do with bridge, in the shower head, there's a little information pamphlet that says we are all here for conserving water. And it says your shower head will tell you how you're going, and it goes, stays on blue for 0 to 10 liters. Then it goes to green for 10 to 20 liters. Then it goes to maroon for 21 to 30. And then it goes red for 40 plus. So it's their way of trying to conserve water. Never seen it before. That's pretty innovative, don't you think?
It is. I don't know whether it's going to be much help to our listeners.
No. But wouldn't it be good if you had something like that, and then it's saying, oh, we're getting too high in our bidding, partner. Start flashing red. Anything exciting happen at the table over your bridge playing week?
I had a very long hesitation at one table. Very long hesitation, but somebody had a really tough decision to make, and at a high level, and it took a long time, as it can do. Nobody ever had a problem with anything, but it was one of those things where somebody had a really, really tough decision. Yeah. Sometimes that can take a long time.
Mm. And Judge Julie is going to give you all the goss on how to deal with it and what a director may do on hesitation. So listen into that. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
Pardon? Are you ready for this week's tip?
Okay, let's go.
It might be a little bit controversial, this. I was talking to somebody. I can't even remember who it was now. You know, they said, oh, you must have 10 points to respond at the 2 level. And I said, well, I learned ACOL. Yeah, if you had 8 plus points and a long suit, you could bid it at the 2 level. Like if it goes one spade, you could bid 2 hearts if you had 8 plus points on a long suit. Anyway, I came across this thing, which I'd never heard about, called the Rule of 14. You know, you had all these numbers. I don't remember this one coming up.
Hmm.
Do you recall it? Actually, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure, listeners, that Mariana doesn't remember any of those rules, except for the ones she already knew.
Hang on, Rule of 14.
Is used by the responder. We count our high card points and add the number of cards in our longest suit. If the total is 14 or more, we're strong enough to respond at the 2 level. And I thought, well, that makes sense. If I've got a 6 card suit and 8 points, I'm strong enough to respond at the 2 level. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But that also means that if you've got 7 points and a 7 card suit, you could respond at the 2 level. Now, I'm not too sure about that. What do you think?
All I can think of is the look that partner's going to give you when your dummy goes down.
Yeah, wouldn't you just love it if the partner opened a spade and you had a void in spades, but you had this 7-card heart suit and 7 points and you bid 2 hearts, and then partner jumped to 4 spades? I'm not too sure that we're going to be happy about that.
Well,
I'm not too sure that our 7 hearts are going to be much use to them.
They'll be it's like, the what the heck?
I'm just telling you, it's not my rule. I didn't make it up, and it may not work, but it's an interesting one. And maybe next time you're considering whether you're strong enough to respond at the 2 level, you might want to talk about the Rule of 14. And if partner, you know, throws you under the bus afterwards when they see the dummy, you could just say, well, I heard about the Rule of 14 on the Bridge Zone.
Oh, you know what their partner's going to say?
No. What are they going to say?
That bloody Barry Jones.
Anyway, so I don't know about the Rule of 14, but I do think if you've got 8 plus points and a 6 card suit, it's probably okay to respond at the 2 level. I mean, if at a push, partner bid something that you don't like next, you could actually bid that suit again.
Okay. That seems fair enough.
This, of course, is for the ACOL players and the standard players. This is not for the 2-over-1 players, where a 2-over response is forcing the game. You can't really do that with an 8 count, can you?
No.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Tired, but very good. Got an exciting question for you.
Don't tell us about the 34 degrees you're in. We don't want to know, do we, Julie? Where are you, Mariana, by the way?
Disneyland in Paris.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty big place.
Okay, from Disneyland to Mickey Mouse. We've got this question, which is, I think most people probably know now that if you hesitate for a long time and pass, or even if you do something, your partner's got to be careful to act in an ethical way. So how long is it okay to hesitate for, Julie?
Well, first of all, if your partner hesitates, you are meant to make a bid that everybody would make. So if a partner hesitates and you think that means you're not allowed to bid, you are wrong. You are allowed to bid. And since we don't know what everyone will do, most of the time, you're not thinking about the ruling. You're thinking about what you've got in your hand. The problem arises when your hand starts feeling better and better and better. So when partner stops to think, we know they've got something, how long can they think for? You are allowed to think at the bridge table. Strangely enough, it is a thinking game. So sometimes we have incredibly difficult decisions. And I know it's frustrating. You're sitting there and someone is thinking, shall I or shan't I bid? And they're taking forever to make a decision. Sometimes they should just make a decision because they're never, ever going to get it right or wrong. They're just, it's too difficult. Other times it makes a big difference to the final result on a board and we really need to think carefully about it. And if you're sitting there trying to decide, is my hand good enough to raise the game? Has this got good bit? Blah, blah, blah. And you're just trying to work through what you need to do. And someone then says about you taking time. Guess what that does? Sends you right back to the beginning again. Right? So you take longer. And you are allowed to take time to think. If people are playing and they take a long time to play, it's pretty equally true. If they take too long, then you're going to tell the director that it's not your fault that things are slow. Or you might call the director because you're going to be moving soon and you need to have them make a decision. So there are things around time that are discourteous to other players because everyone gets 7 minutes to play a board and you're not entitled to take longer. But there are times where you've got plenty of time, like when you're playing matches in a teams match or Swiss pairs, you're playing multiple boards, where often you will be able to catch up later by taking less time. So it's a bit of a fraught subject. When your partner hesitates, you have information that you are not allowed because you know they've got something to think about and that is something that you have not learned through the bidding or the play, so therefore you are not allowed it. But if your partner's taking time to think, they're allowed to have a problem. They are allowed to take time to think. And if taking time to think would bar you from the auction, that would be really bad because then people could take time to think just to shut you up, right?
Yeah.
And that would be interesting discussions at the end of the hand by partnerships. Somebody thinks their partner is not barred from the auction. And all you do is you say, do you agree that your partner took time to think? And if they say no, you call the director. If they say yes, you keep playing. If somebody is thinking, clearly has a problem, if you interrupt them, you are likely to extend the amount of time that they are going to take. And if you're asking questions throughout an auction when people are doing things that you don't understand, unless you are going to bid or it makes a difference to your bidding, equally, you really shouldn't be asking questions or interrupting things either. There's a whole raft of interesting stuff here. All of it's confusing. All of us get it wrong. All of us get upset. We get upset because when someone's taking forever to play a card, we forget what's been played. Mm. So it's not comfortable, but people are allowed to think.
Usually with hesitating, it's when somebody hesitates and passes, and then the auction proceeds around to their partner who has got this extra information that partner has something they had to think about.
Yeah.
And if I had a dollar for every time I've heard somebody take a bid here and then say, I was always going to bid.
Yes. I mean, in all fairness, it's like when partner grabs their hand at something different to what it is. In all fairness to the vast majority of people out there, they are not deliberately breaking the rules. They are panicking. Mm. And when your partner takes a long time to think, your hand is looking better to you. Your glasses are getting rosier and rosier. And it's subliminal. It's not always a clear thought that the partner's taking time, I must bid. A lot of the time, people are innocent of deliberate malfeasance. That doesn't stop the fact that what they've done won't be what over 80% of people will do. So that won't stop the ruling being against them. when the director rules against you, they are not saying that they think that you should be, you know, hung, drawn and quartered, that you have been a very bad person. They are simply saying that most people with your hand would have taken a different action, right? They're not saying anything about you doing things deliberately or your partnership doing things deliberately. They are simply saying that over 80% of players would not have bid the same way that you did. That doesn't mean you wouldn't bid that way. Just this time, unfortunately, the result's going to be changed.
Yep.
I can remember an amusing director's comment in this situation. Say it did with something like three spades, hesitation, pass, and then this person took a bid. And the director was called because they reckon they'd acted on their partners. And she said, but that's how I bid. And the director made the comment, look, even if you were known as Julie Atkinson, the mad overbidder, you wouldn't make that bid.
So someone of your ability doing something, that doesn't mean that's you. And we do have people that we know that bid with a bit of lunacy or a lot of lunacy.
And did I not mention Julie Atkinson, the mad overbidder?
I have been ignoring you rather well, I thought, but you know. So it is people of the same ability as you and whether they would do the same thing. And sometimes there'll be a lot of choices about what you would do, and the director has to decide if one was actually suggested more than another, right? Mm. The partner hesitates. Sometimes you don't know if you should double or you should bid because you don't know what they're thinking about, do you?
No.
So sometimes there are other things that come into play, but in general, most of us try and do the best that we can, and sometimes the director will rule that the choice that you made is not one that most people would make in the same situation, same ability, and they will change that ruling. They are not saying that you are a cheat. They are not saying that you deliberately did anything wrong. They are saying that not everyone of your standing would have made that bid, and therefore they're going to have to change the bid to something else. And I think there was an article about 1972-73 by Tony Forrester in the UK about how the bridge laws presume you're guilty rather than innocent. So you will find that often you're on the back foot, and that means that the directors don't go around having to accuse people of cheating or not cheating. All right? They're looking at what happened.
Because when you get that situation, when it goes three spades, hesitation from partner, pass to you, and you've sort of close to having a bid, and you've got this extra information, and you know that you're not supposed to take an action that might have been. It's really tricky sometimes to think, what would I have done if there wasn't a hesitation?
Trying to think about what way the director's going to rule is a very, very hard thing to do. If you're saying, would most people bid on this hand? I mean, if you think that they would, well, fine, you're going to bid. At the end of the day, the director will come along and make a ruling. That will be fine.
I mean,
often, if you take a long time to think, and then you ask or whatever you do, always just say to your opponents, I'm sorry, I took a long time. If there's a problem, we'll call the director at the end. No problem at all. That's life. We all have to think, and we're all allowed to. And saying what you're thinking about makes no difference. I mean, if you're silly enough to have this hand you have a big problem on and you're thinking, shall I bring in the washing, right, the director's not going to know. Your partner's not going to know.
Which reminds me of another amusing director's comment. Who would have thought directors actually had a sense of humour? This one was, this person wanted to take a bid after their partner's hesitation, and the director came along and said, your partner cooked your goose.
Unfortunately, the directors are not really meant to say things like that because they're not allowed to tell people what they should or shouldn't do.
This was after the event. Yeah, you come along.
There's three opponents at the table, and you've got to deal with the one that you're playing with.
That's a good one.
Actually, I'm not too sure that she's helped our listeners much here, Mariana. She's done her best.
I hope you're playing well this Friday in the Trans-Tasman Barry, because we will be looking with keen interest.
Right. Julie won't know because she'll be at the other table, Mariana. I can do
all
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Well done to everybody in the National Swiss over the weekend.
Yeah, 48 tables, Mariana.
Wow, that's pretty good. Who took that out?
Oh, Anthony Kerr and Russell Dive won it, and with a match to go, they couldn't lose. They were that far ahead.
So they'd won it with one match to go.
Nice.
Impressive stuff.
Well, thank you very much for that, Judgy.
Go back to 34 degrees, Mariana. Thank you very much. Thank you, Julie.
Yep. Bye. I forgot to tell you, listeners, that I went to the Olympics, watched the women's rugby sevens, and saw New Zealand take the gold medal. It was very exciting. But the French sing this song quite a bit. Cœur ouvert à l'inconnu, j'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui, et ce fut toi, je t'ai dit n'importe quoi, il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser. Aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Tu m'as dit j'ai rendez-vous dans un sous-sol avec des fous qui vivent la guitare à la main. Okay, well, what's coming up next week? Anything major in the country?
I think the Cambridge Sixes is probably sort of the main event. Let's have a quick look. We've got the Richmond Open Pairs, 5A Open Pairs is being played, and the Auckland Bridge Centre is having their regional conference. That's bound to be jam-packed full of excitement. And Geraldine are holding their Open 8B Pairs. That's all there is.
Congress is getting closer.
It is, and you better get closer too, otherwise you won't get home in time.
Yeah, I think I come home the week before.
The next fairly major event is the time-honoured Fullerton Provincial Teams Championship being held in Napier. That's on the 17th of August, something that I have very rarely played in. It's always held a long way away, but this year it's in Napier. I noticed that the Akarana Bridge Club is holding their 5A Swiss Pairs event online on the 24th of August, so that's a few weeks away. And I noticed they've already got 19 tables.
Really?
That's pretty good. How's that? Just a little 5A tournament.
It's time for me to go. Got things to do, places to be.
Okay. Just make sure you don't get too sunburned.
All right. Well, catch you next week and have fun at the tables, people.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.